Section 5. The nature of the work in a particular instance. I have been particularly acquainted with many persons who have been the subjects of the high and extraordinary transports of the present day. But in the highest transports I have been acquainted with, and where the affections of admiration, love, and joy, so far as another could judge, had been raised to the highest pitch, the following things had been united, namely, a very frequent dwelling for some considerable time together, in views of the glory of the divine perfections and Christ's excellencies. So that the soul has been as it were perfectly overwhelmed, and swallowed up with light and love, a sweet solace, and a rest and joy of soul altogether unspeakable. The person has more than once continued for 5 or 6 hours together, without interruption, in a clear and lively view or sense of the infinite beauty and amiableness of Christ's person, and the heavenly sweetness of his transcendent lobe. So that to use the person's own expressions, the soul remained in a kind of heavenly elysium, and did as it were swim in the rays of Christ's love, like a little mote swimming in the beams of the sun that come in at a window. The heart was swallowed up in the kind of glow of Christ's love coming down as a constant stream of sweet light, at the same time the soul all flowing out in love to him. So that there seemed to be a constant flowing and reflowing from heart to heart. The soul dwelt on high, was lost in God, and seemed almost to leave the body. The mind dwelt in a pure delight that fed and satisfied it, enjoying pleasure without the least sting, or any interruption. And, so far as the judgment and word of a person of discretion may be taken, speaking upon the most deliberate consideration, what was enjoyed in a single minute of the whole space, which was many hours, was worth more than all the outward comfort and pleasure of the whole life put together. And this without being in any trance, or at all deprived of the exercise of the bodily senses. And this heavenly delight has been enjoyed for years together, though not frequently so long together to such a height. Extraordinary views of divine things, and the religious affections, were frequently attended with very great effects on the body. Nature often sunk under the weight of divine discoveries, and the strength of the body was taken away. The person was deprived of all ability to stand or speak. Sometimes the hands were clenched, and the flesh cold, but the senses remaining. Animal nature was often in a great emotion and agitation, and the soul so overcome with admiration, and a kind of omnipotent joy, as to cause a person, unavoidably, to leap with all the might, with joy and mighty exultation. The soul at the same time was so strongly drawn towards God and Christ in heaven, that it seemed to the person as though soul and body would, as it were of themselves, of necessity mount up, leave the earth, and ascend thither. These effects on the body were not owing to the influence of example, but began about 7 years ago, when there was no such enthusiastical season as many account this, but it was a very dead time through the land. They arose from no distemper catched from Mr. Whitefield, or Mr. Tennant, because they began before either of them came into the country. Near 3 years ago, they greatly increased, upon an extraordinary self-dedication, renunciation of the world, and resignation of all to God, which were made, in a great view of God's excellency, in high exercise of love to him, and rest and joy in him. Since that time they had been very frequent, and began in a yet higher degree, and greater frequency, about a year and a half ago, upon another new resignation of all to God, with a yet greater fervency and delight of soul. The body often fainting with the love of Christ. These effects appeared in a higher degree still, the last winter, upon another resignation to an acceptance of God, as the only portion and happiness of the soul, wherein the whole world, with the dearest enjoyments in it, were renounced as dirt and dung. All that is pleasant and glorious, and all that is terrible in this world, seem perfectly to vanish into nothing, and nothing to be left but God, in whom the soul was perfectly swallowed up, as in an infinite ocean of blessedness. Since this time there have often been great agitations of body, and an unavoidable leaping for joy. And the soul as it were dwelling, almost without interruption, in a kind of paradise. And very often, in high transports, disposed to speak to others concerning the great and glorious things of God, and Christ, and the eternal world, in a most earnest manner, and with a loud voice, so that it is next to impossible to avoid it. These effects on the body did not arise from any bodily distemper or weakness, Because the greatest of all have been in a good state of health, this great rejoicing has been with trembling, 1e. Attended with a deep and lively sense of the greatness and majesty of God, and the person's own exceeding littleness and vileness. Spiritual joys in this person never were attended with the least appearance of laughter, or lightness, either of countenance or manner of speaking, but with a peculiar abhorrence of such appearances in spiritual rejoicings. These high transports, when past, have had abiding effects in the increase of sweetness, rest, and humility which they have left upon the soul, and a new engagedness of heart to live to God's honor, and watch and fight against sin. And these things took place not in the giddy age of youth, nor in a new convert, or unexperienced Christian, but in one that was converted above 27 years ago. And neither converted not educated in that enthusiastic town of Northampton, as some may be ready to call it, but in a town and family which none, that I know of, suspected of enthusiasm. And these effects were found in a Christian that has been long, in an uncommon manner, growing in grace, and rising, by very sensible degrees, to higher love to God, weanedness from the world, mastery over sin and temptation, through great trials and conflicts, long-continued strugglings and fighting with sin, earnest and constant prayer and labor in religion, an engagedness of mind in the use of all means, attended with a great exactness of life. Which growth has been attended, not only with a great increase of religious affections, but with a wonderful alteration of outward behavior, in many things, visible to those who are most intimately acquainted, so as lately to have become as it were a new person. And particularly in living so much more above the world, and in a greater degree of steadfastness and strength in the way of duty and self-denial, maintaining the Christian conflict against temptations, and conquering from time to time under great trials. Persisting in an unmoved, untouched calm and rest, under the changes and accidents of time. The person had formerly, in lower degrees of grace, been subject to unsteadiness, and many ups and downs, in the frame of mind, being under great disadvantages, through a vaporous habit of body, and often subject to melancholy, and at times almost overborne with it, it having been so even from early youth. But strength of grace and divine light has of a long time wholly conquered these disadvantages, and carried the mind, in a constant manner, quite above all such effects. Since that resignation spoken of before, made near 3 years ago, everything of that nature seems to be overcome and crushed by the power of faith and trust in God, and resignation to Him. The person has remained in a constant uninterrupted rest, humble joy in God, and assurance of His favor, without 1 hour's melancholy or darkness, from that day to this. Vapors have had great effects on the body, such as they used to have before, but the soul has been always out of their reach. And this steadfastness and constancy has remained through great outward changes and trials, such as times of the most extreme pain, and apparent hazard of immediate death. These transporting views and rapturous affections are not attended with any enthusiastic disposition to follow impulses, or any supposed prophetical revelations. Nor have they been observed to be attended with any appearance of spiritual pride, but very much of a contrary disposition, an increase of humility and meekness, and a disposition in honor to prefer others. And it is worthy to be remarked, that when these discoveries and holy affections were evidently at the greatest height, which began early in the morning of the Holy Sabbath, and lasted for days together, melting all down in the deepest humility and poverty of spirit, reverence and resignation, and the sweetest meekness, and universal benevolence, these two things were felt in a remarkable manner, namely, first, a peculiar aversion to judging other professing Christians of good standing in the visible church, with respect to their conversion or degrees of grace, or at all intermeddling with that matter, so much as to determine against and condemn others in the thoughts of the heart. Such want of candor appeared hateful, as not agreeing with that lamb-like humility, meekness, gentleness, and charity, which the soul then, above other times, saw to be beautiful. The disposition then felt was, on the contrary, to prefer others to self, and to hope that they saw more of God and loved Him better. Though before, under smaller discoveries, and feebler exercises of divine affection, there had been a disposition to censure and condemn others. Secondly, another thing that was felt at that time, was a very great sense of the importance of moral social duties, and how great a part of religion lay in them. There was such a new sense and conviction of this, beyond what had been before, that it seemed to be as it were a clear discovery then made to the soul. But, in general, there has been a very great increase of a sense of these two things, as divine views and divine love have increased. The things already mentioned have been attended also with the following things, namely, an extraordinary sense of the awful majesty, greatness, and holiness of God, so as sometimes to overwhelm soul and body, a sense of the ineffable misery of sinners who are exposed to this wrath. Sometimes the exceeding pollution of the person's own heart, as a sink of all manner of abomination, and the dreadfulness of an eternal hell of God's wrath, open to view both together. There was a clear view of a desert of that misery, and that by the pollution of the best duties. Yea, only by the irreverence, and want of humility, that attended when speaking of the holy name of God, when done in the best manner that ever it was done. The strength of the body was very often taken away with a deep mourning for sin, as committed against so holy and good a God. Sometimes with an affecting sense of actual sin, sometimes especially indwelling sin, and sometimes the consideration of the sin of the heart as appearing in a particular thing, as for instance, in that there was no greater forwardness and readiness to self-denial for God and Christ, who had so denied himself for us. Yea, sometimes the consideration of sin that was in only speaking one word concerning the infinitely great and holy God, has been so affecting as to overcome the strength of nature. There has been a very great sense of a certain truth of the great things revealed in the gospel. An overwhelming sense of the glory of the work of redemption, and the way of salvation by Jesus Christ. Of the glorious harmony of the divine attributes appearing therein, as them wherein mercy and truth are met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. A sight of the fullness and glorious sufficiency of Christ has been so affecting as to overcome the body. A constant immovable trust in God through Christ, with a great sense of His strength and faithfulness, the sureness of His covenant and the immutability of His promises, made the everlasting mountains and perpetual hills to appear as mere shadows to these things. Sometimes the sufficiency and faithfulness of God, as the covenant God of His people, appeared in these words, "I am that I am," in so affecting a manner as to overcome the body. A sense of the glorious, unsearchable, unerring wisdom of God in His works, both of creation and providence, was such as to swallow up the soul, and overcome the strength of the body. There was a sweet rejoicing of soul at the thoughts of God being infinitely and unchangeably happy, and an exulting gladness of heart that God is self-sufficient, and infinitely above all dependence, and reigns over all, and does His will with absolute and uncontrollable power and sovereignty. A sense of the glory of the Holy Spirit, as the great Comforter, was such as to overwhelm both soul and body. Only mentioning the word the Comforter has immediately taken away all strength. That word, as the person expressed it, seemed great enough to fill heaven and earth. There was a most vehement and passionate desire of the honor and glory of God's name. A sensible, clear, and constant preference of it, not only to the person's own temporal interest, but to his spiritual comfort in this world. There was a willingness to suffer the hidings of God's face, and to live and die in darkness and horror, if God's honor should require it, and to have no other reward for it but that God's name should be glorified, although so much of the sweetness of the light of God's countenance had been experienced. A great lamenting of ingratitude and the defect of love to God took away bodily strength. And there were very often vehement longings and faintings after more love to Christ and greater conformity to Him. Especially longing after these two things, namely, to be more perfect in humility and adoration. The flesh and heart seem often to cry out for lying low before God, and fall down before His throne, have often overcome the body, and set it into a great agitation. The person felt a great delight in singing praises to God and Jesus Christ, and longing that this present life may be, as it were, one continued song of praise to God. There was a longing, as the person expressed it, to sit and sing this life away, and an overcoming pleasure in the thoughts of spending an eternity in that exercise. Together with living by faith to a great degree, there was a constant and extraordinary distrust of our own strength and wisdom. A great dependence on God for His help in order to the performance of anything to God's acceptance, and being restrained from the most horrid sins. A sense of the black ingratitude of true saints, as to coldness and deadness in religion, and their setting their hearts on the things of this world, has overcome the bodily frame. There was an experience of great longing that all the children of God might be lively in religion, fervent in their love, and active in the service of God. And, when there have been appearances of it in others, rejoicing so in beholding the pleasant sight, that the joy of soul has been too great for the body. The person took pleasure in the thoughts of watching and striving against sin, fighting through the way to heaven, and filling up this life with hard labor, and bearing the cross for Christ, as an opportunity to give God honor. Not desiring to rest from labors till arrived in heaven, but abhorring the thoughts of it, and seeming astonished that God's own children should be backward to strive and deny themselves for God. There were earnest longings that all God's people might be clothed with humility and meekness, like the Lamb of God, and feel nothing in their hearts but love and compassion to all mankind. And great grief when anything to the contrary appeared in any of the children of God, as bitterness, fierceness of zeal, censoriousness, or reflecting uncharitably on others, or disputing with any appearance of heat of spirit. A deep concern for the good of other souls. A mounting compassion to those that looked on themselves as in a state of nature, and to saints under darkness, so as to cause the body to faint. There was found in universal benevolence to mankind, with a longing as it were to embrace the whole world in the arms of pity and love. And ideas of suffering from enemies the utmost conceivable rage and cruelty, with a disposition felt to fervent love and pity in such a case, so far as it could be realized in thought. Sometimes a disposition was felt to a life given up to mourning alone in a wilderness over a lost and miserable world. Compassion towards them being often to that degree, that would allow of no support or rest, but in going to God, and pouring out the soul in prayer for them. Earnest desires were felt that the work of God, now in the land, may be carried on, and that with greater purity, and freedom from all bitter zeal, censoriousness, spiritual pride, hot disputes, etc., and a vehement and constant desire for the setting up of Christ's kingdom through the earth, as a kingdom of holiness, purity, love, peace, and happiness to mankind. The soul often entertained, with unspeakable delight, the thoughts of heaven, as a world of love, where love shall be the saints' eternal food, where they shall dwell in the light, and swim in an ocean of love, and where the very air and breath will be nothing but love. Love to the people of God, or God's true saints, as having the image of Christ, and as those who will in a very little time shine in His perfect image. The strength was very often taken away with longings that others might love God more, and serve God better, and have more of His comfortable presence, than the person that was the subject of these longings. Desiring to follow the whole world to heaven, or that everyone should go before, and be higher in grace and happiness, not by this person's diminution, but by others' increase. This experience included a delight in conversing on religious subjects, and in seeing Christians together, talking of the most spiritual and heavenly things in religion, in a lively and feeling manner. And very frequently the person was overcome with the pleasure of such conversation. A great sense was often expressed of the importance of the duty of charity to the poor, and how much the generality of Christians come short in the practice of it. There was also a great sense of the need ministers have of much of the Spirit of God, at this day especially. And there were most earnest longings and wrestlings with God for them, so as to take away the bodily strength. It also included the greatest, fullest, longest continued, and most constant assurance of the favor of God and of a title to future glory, that ever I saw any appearance of in any person, enjoying, especially of late, to use the person's own expression, the riches of full assurance. Formerly there was a longing to die with something of impatience. But lately, since that resignation forementioned, about 3 years ago, an uninterrupted entire resignation to God with respect to life or death, sickness or health, ease or pain, which has remained unchanged and unshaken, when actually under extreme and violent pains, and in times of threatenings of immediate death. But notwithstanding this patience and submission, the thoughts of death and the day of judgment are always exceeding sweet to the soul. This resignation is also attended with the constant resignation of the lives of dearest earthly friends, and sometimes when some of their lives have been imminently threatened. the person often expressing the sweetness of the liberty of having wholly left the world, and renounced all for God, and having nothing but God, in whom is an infinite fullness. These things have been attended with a constant sweet peace and calm, and serenity of soul, without any cloud to interrupt it. A continual rejoicing in all the works of God's hands, the works of nature, and God's daily works of providence, all appearing with a sweet smile upon them. A wonderful access to God by prayer, as it were seeing Him, and immediately conversing with Him, as much oftentimes to use the person's own expressions as if Christ were here on earth, sitting on a visible throne, to be approached to and conversed with. There have been frequent, plain, sensible, and immediate answers of prayer, all tears wiped away, all former troubles and sorrows of life forgotten, and all sorrow and sighing fled away, excepting grief for past sins, and for remaining corruption, and that Christ is loved no more, and that God is no more honored in the world. And a compassionate grief towards fellow creatures, a daily sensible doing and suffering everything for God, for a long time past, eating, working, sleeping, and bearing pain and trouble for God, and doing all as the service of love, with a continual uninterrupted cheerfulness, peace, and joy. "Oh, how good," said the person once, "is it to work for God in the daytime, and at night to lie down under His smiles." High experiences and religious affections in this person have not been attended with any disposition at all to neglect the necessary business of a secular calling, to spend the time in reading and prayer, and other exercises of devotion. But worldly business has been attended with great alacrity, as part of the service of God. The person declaring that, it being done thus, it was found to be as good as prayer. These things have been accompanied with exceeding concern and zeal for moral duties, and that all professors may with them adorn the doctrine of God their Savior. And an uncommon care to perform relative and social duties, and a noted eminence in them. A great inoffensiveness of life and conversation in the sight of others. A great meekness, gentleness, and benevolence of spirit and behavior. And a great alteration in those things that formerly used to be the person's failings. Seeming to be much overcome and swallowed up by the late great increase of grace, to the observation of those who are most conversant and most intimately acquainted. In times of the brightest light and highest flights of love and joy, there was found no disposition to the opinion of being now perfectly free from sin, according to the notion of the Wesleys and their followers, and some other high pretenders to spirituality in these days, but exceedingly the contrary. At such times especially, it was seen how loathsome and polluted the soul is. Soul and body, and every act and word, appearing like rottenness and corruption in the pure and holy light of God's glory. The person did not slight instruction or means of grace any more for having had great discoveries. On the contrary, never was more sensible of the need of instruction than now. And one thing more may be added, namely, that these things have been attended with a particular dislike of placing religion much in dress, and spending much zeal about those things that in themselves are matters of indifference, or an affecting to show humility and devotion by a mean habit, or a demure and melancholy countenance, or anything singular and superstitious.